I begin the current daf Masechtas Erechin daf Chav Tes. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara brings a brisa elaborating on the halacha of our Mishnah, which was speaking about the topic of these Mishnayos regarding the laws of Cherim, which relates to the topic of these Parakim regarding Steachuza, because in regards to the law of the ancestral field, it comes in the wording and the concept of a Sadi Cherim, which the Mishnah discusses regarding Stam Charbam. When someone makes a Cherim, does that generally mean for Bedek Abayis or for Kahanim? We're discussing now in the beginning of the Mishnah regarding when someone makes a Cherim for this thing to be dedicated for the Kahanim regarding its specific halachas. So, Tanabon Linda Braisa, Cherim e Kahanim, a Cherim that's designated for the Kahanim, ain't lehem pidyon. There's no redemption. And it has to be given to the Kohen, unlike other Hekdesh where one could redeem it, a Cherim cannot be redeemed, it has to be given to the Kohen. Moreover, that was halacha that was mentioned in our Mishnah. Katinis de Braisa, Charamim, Kozman Shehin Beveis Bailim, as long as they're in the house of the owner, the one who owns it, who was Machamit, Harehin Ke Hektish L'chol Devrein has halacha like Hektish for all practical purposes, meaning that there's even going to be the law of Me'ila, misappropriation, it's considered like Hektish. Shanim, like it says in the Pasuk in Be'ikra, it says Kol Cherim, the Gersa takes out the word Be Yisrael, Kodesh Kodeshum LaShem, it's considered holiest of the holies for Hashem. So you see, a Cherim is considered like Hektish in regards to Me'ila. Now, but the son of the Kayin, but once it's given to the Kayin, Harehin L'chol Devrein Kehulin, for all practical purposes, is like unconsecrated elements that it is for the Kayin, meaning it's like all his other private monies. So, like it says in the Pasuk in Midbar, it says, Kol Cherim B'Yisrael, L'chol the Kayin were told that every Cherim in the Jewish people will be for you, meaning it's like yours, it's your own thing, it's like his own private monies, it doesn't have the status of Hekdesh. Now, as we said, the Mishnah has a machlekes. He says, "Stam charam lebedik abayis v'chulu." Just unspecified cherim. Someone says this thing is cherim. That's actually for the temple upkeep. Whereas the Rabbanan disagree, and they say that no, it's actually for the kahana. Now, so the Gemara wonders as follows: Bishlam the Rabbanan. We understand the pin Rabbanan the Mishnah. They explained their reasoning. They brought a pasuk to show that the pasuk seems to indicate that stam charamim is lebedik abayis, like the pasuk says, kol cherim kodesh kodeshim. Who their pasuk they brought in vayikra, which sounds like that it goes to the kohen, a regular cherim. So that's like they explain. And additionally, the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, they also explain the pasuk, the reasoning of the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda, who he brought a pasuk that seemed to indicate, which is the pasuk of Kochem Kedesh Kodeshim LaHashem, sounds like it goes to Hashem, to Bedek Abayis, and on that they addressed it and said, well, why does it say that pasuk? That's to say that it could take effect on Kodeshim Kalim, on Kodeshim Kodeshim. That's what that pasuk is referring to. So they're explaining their own pasuk, and they even explain why the pasuk of Rabbi Maseira is not difficult according to them. But El Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says the Gemara, he doesn't in the Mishnah explain the pasuk of the Rabbanan. Haikas Te'acherim, the pasuk of the Rabbanan, that sounds like clearly that the Te'acherim goes to the Kayin. My Ovidle, what does he do with that? He says, Stam Charam is not to the Kayin, it goes to Bedek Abayis. So says the Gemara, Miboy Lilikatitanya. He needs the pasuk to teach a different halacha, like it says in the following Braisa. The pasuk of Meyikra, which Rabbanan bring for their source, says, Kisteacherim, like the Secherim field, Lakayin Te'achozase, to the Kayin it should be his ancestry. Now, this pasuk, actually, in its simple understanding, is going on a regular ancestral field, someone's field that he has inherited from his father, and he was makdashit, and it wasn't redeemed. So the pasuk says that when the field's going to go on in Yovel, it's going to be holy to Hashem, like the steacherim, which is, it's going to go to the kohen as his ancestry. Just like a steacherim goes to the kohen, so too, this type of steachuz is going to go to the kohen. Now, a regular steacherim, like Rabbi Yehuda Maseira holds, doesn't go to the kohen. As the Rabbanan brought this pasuk, it sounds like it goes to the Kohen. So he learned something else from this pasuk. He says, as this Braisa says, that Matam Aleima, what is this pasuk coming to teach us? Because as we're saying, a regular steachim doesn't go to the Kohen. So when you talk about a steachuza that was unredeemed, that's going on in the Yevil year, you're comparing it like a steachim, like Kohen Tiachazasa, what are these words coming to say then? Says the Braisa, it's coming to teach the following halacha. From where do we know a kohen that sanctified his cherim field? Meaning, a field that a Yisrael was machrim, and here he designated that it should go, his portion should go to the kohen, and it went to the kohen. So the kohen has the cherim field, and he was machdish that field now. From where do you know Shaloyim that the kohen shouldn't say now as follows? He's going to say, look, as follows. Hoyel, since when Yehovah's going to come, if I would not redeem this from the treasurer, and someone else would redeem it, So it would get split up. The Yitzlakanim would get divided by Kehanim in the Yevil year, like any person that sanctifies his Te'achuza, because the Chayim field that was given to the Kain is now his Achuza. It's his ancestry, like the Pasuk says that we're quoting, Kisteachem Lekain Te'achuzasai. The Chayim field is going to be to the Kain like his Achuza, like it's his own Achuza. So therefore the Kohen is going to say, okay, so now that I'm in possession of this field, so it's already mine. So Te'ei Shalish should be mine. V'dinu, and logic would seem to dictate this, because by someone else I merit. Meaning, if a regular Yisrael sanctified his Te'achuzah, when Yevil year would come around, it would get divided with me as one of the Kohen getting it. So my own Steachuza, which is the Chayim field that he got from a regular Yisrael, which now he was Makdish, when the Yevil year comes around, he says, isn't it a Koshkin that I for sure should get it and hold on to it because I'm already in possession of it? I was the one who was Makdish it. Tamalim, that's the pasuk coming to teach this halacha. Kesteachem, like the Chayim field, Lakayin Tiachuzase, for the Kayin should be his ancestry. Now, like as we explained, this pasuk really is talking about someone who sanctified his Steachuza. So says the Raisa, now, what actually are you learning? If you read the Pasuk in its literal understanding, it sounds like that we're understanding in the conceptualization of a Steachuzah, that how do you understand the Talacha? Like a Steacherim. And that the Raisa is saying, what exactly are you learning from a Steacherim that's reflecting on the Halacha of a Steachuzah? You could just say that the Steachuzah is going to go out in the Yevil year to the Kanim. What's the comparison to the Steacherim? So says the Braisa, Harizeh Bala Lamed. The Pasig considers it like as if it's coming to teach us something regarding Steachuzah. But Venim Tzalamed comes that it's actually learning, we're actually going to teach something to Steacherim from the Steachuzah. Makish Steacherim le Steachuzah Shal Yisrael. We're going to compare the field of the Cherim of the Kayan to a regular ancestral field of Yisrael, which is Ma Steachuzah Shal Yisrael, just like an ancestral field of Yisrael. If the Yisrael is Makdashit, and then one of the Kohanim goes ahead and he redeems it, Yitzim Mitachas Yodai, actually we take it away from that Kohen in the Yevil year. Umischalekis Lekohanim, and it gets divided by the Kohanim of that Mishmer of that week, as the Gemara said previous parak, in earlier in the parak of Chafeim Abeis, that says in this pasuk that we're quoting, Achuzasai, that Lekohen Tiachuzasai, which means to say his own achuza will be for his. But this is not his own achuza. So therefore, it gets divided by the other kahanim, not by the kohen who redeemed it. So avstei chemer, that's what we're coming to teach us regarding his chemer field. That it gets taken away from him, this, that he was makdish to stei chemer, and it gets divided by his brother's account. That's what this pasuk is coming to teach. Not that, like the Rabbanan said, that a regular chemer field goes to the kohen. No. That goes to Bethi Gabbais. But when you do have a Cherem field that was given to the Kain, and then he's Makdashit, it's going to be the same thing like a Yisrael who's Makdashit, which is that it goes to other Kain in the Yevil year, not the Kain who redeemed it. Here also, it's not going to go to this Kain who he had the Cherem field. Rather, since he was Makdashit, it's going to go to the other Kahanim that it falls out in the Yevil year in their Mishmah. Now, V'idach, but the Rabbanon, who they don't learn Kisteachim like this because they use it for, like we explained in the Mishnah, to say that the regular cherim is lekayin, me cherim ha cherim. They learn that this extra drasha of this braisa from the extra letter hey. It could have said cherim, it says ha cherim, to teach this other halacha. But ve'idach, b'brihid b'mesera, cherim ha cherim loy mashmalei. He doesn't understand that the extra hey would come to say this whole drasha. Therefore, he rather learns it for this drasha. And he doesn't have the halachic source of stam charamim lekayin from this pasuk. And because he disputes it, and he says it goes lebedi gabais. But then the Gemara asks, b'brihid b'mesera, the chalal kachim kachim al kachim kalim minole. Where does he know that the halacha is that charam could take effect even on kachim kachim or kachim kalim, which, because that pasuk was his own pasuk that he was bringing for his source of stam charam lebedik abayas, the Rabbanan used his pasuk, as they explained in the Mishnah, to come to say that no, it's not saying that stam it goes to kachim kachim, it's just saying that charam could take effect on kachim kachim, but stam charam is actually lekahanim. But Rabbi Yudim said that use it for the source of his own halacha. Where does he know that it could take effect, Cherem, even on Kachi Kachim, Kachi Kam, which is not really his, it's actually owned by Hashem, but that Cherem could take effect on that nonetheless? Where does he know that from? So the Gemara Sava, the Kribi Shmol, he was a Kribi Shmol, who in the next Mishnah, he learns it out from a different source, as we're going to see, the same halacha the Rabbanan from Yaktish and Al Taktish. Now, Amar Ravi says, halacha Kribi Yudim Meseira, halacha Kribi Yudim Meseira, that when someone says an unspecified Cherem, it goes to Bedi Kabais. To which the Gemara wonders, Rav Shavak Rabban of Avakrib Hidden Mesera, Rav leaves the multitudes, that of the Rabban, and he does like a Das Yach, an individual opinion, that of Hidden Mesera? Says the Gemara, no, Braisa Ibchatanya. He learned in the Braisa that the opinions were the opposite. The Rabbanim were the ones who said Stam Charmel Lebedek Abayis, and Behuda was the one who said that it goes to the Kehanim. So therefore, this that he's saying that it goes to Bedek Abayis is actually the opinion of the Rabbanim. Because in the Braisa, it says the Rabbanim are the ones who say that opinion. So the Gemara wonders, Shavik must need the Bavik and Braisa, but you're saying he's going like the Rabbanim, like the Rabbanim, not like Rabbi Nusera. So then why does he pick to go like the Rabbanim in the Braisa over the Mishnah, which is more authoritative, and he's saying like the Braisa? No, Rav Masnit Nami Ibchatani. Rav actually learned our Mishnah also the opposite opinions. He learned that it was actually the Rabbanu who said Bedek Abayis, and Yehuda who said it goes to the Kanam. So the Gemara wonders, then my chaz the Abcha Masnit Mekme Braisa, why do you see? The Gemara assumes that he switched around the opinion of the Mishnah because of the Braisa. Why do you see the switch around the attribution of opinions of the Mishnah because of how it was recorded in the Braisa? Not the Braisa, make me must need to switch around the attribution of opinions in the Braisa because of how it was taught in the Mishnah. So the Gemara, no, Rav Gemari Gomer. Rav learned this as a tradition from his teacher who taught him that the text of our Mishnah is in error, and that it should say that it's the Rabbanon who say that it goes to Bedek Abayis, and Behuda says it goes to the Kan. So the Gemara wonders, wait, if that's the case, then why is Rav saying that the halach is Kri Behuda ben Misera, Krabban Mebaile? He should say halach is like Rabbanon, which is that it goes to Bedek Abayis. Why say it's Kri Behuda ben Misera if that's not how the text of his Mishnah was? So the Gemara wonders, but this is what he was saying. Lamai daf chiso v'teniso, this that you switched around in the mistaken version of how we have it in our Mishnah, that it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira who's saying that it's going to Bedek Abayis, but really that's the opinion of the Rabbanan, so halacha Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, but really he's passing like the Rabbanan, which is that their opinion is the true opinion of the corrected version, that it goes to Bedek Abayis. Now, continuing on these halachas, the Gemara tells Hahu Gavra, that Chaminu Lenichse Bepumbadiz, there was a certain person that took his properties, and he made all of his properties, which was in Pumbadisa, into Cher. So Azal Kamed Rabbi Yehuda, they came in front of Rabbi Yehuda saying, what should he do? So Amalei said to him, look, Shkoil Arba Zuzi, take 4 Zuz, small amount of money, Va'achal Alayu, and deconsecrate all your assets onto these 4 coins, B'shadinim Anar, and throw them into the river, B'lishtarach, and then it's going to be permitted for you. Says the Gemara, Alma Kesavar, obviously, it's that Rabbi Yehuda held, Stam Charam LeBedek Abayis, that an unspecified Cherem, which is what this person did with all his properties, goes to the Bedek Abayis, which is Hektish. And if it's hektish, so then you could deconsecrate, but there's no base of migdash to do anything with it, so there would be a problem by Mila, so just throw it into the river that you're not going to have any benefit from it. Because if he held that Stam Charam go to the Kehanim, then there wouldn't be any redemption. As we said in the top of the Samad, you can't redeem the Charam of a Kain, and you would actually have to give it to a Kain, you wouldn't be able to throw it into the river. Obviously, he holds that Stam Charam go to Bedek Abayis, which is like we pointed out before from this halacha of Rav. But the Gemara asked, but come on, who is he going like? So he's saying it goes to Bedek Abayis, but who is he going like that he was able to deconsecrate his person's all his assets on these 4 zuzim? Says the Gemara, Kishmol, like Shmol. Dama, that he says, hektish shav amana. If you have hektish that even has a value of a mana, which is a lot, it could be a lot of money, meaning proportionally, shechila shav apruta, that even if you deconsecrate on the lowest denomination, just like on a small coin, the smallest coin possible, mechul, it's deconsecrated. So you also took all this person's assets, and you could be mechalal on these 4 zuzim and just throw those zuzim into the river. But on that, the Gemara asks, Eimadam Shmuel shechila, when did Shmuel say this halacha is only if it was? Like a tchila miyamah, does it say initially you could do that? No, if you did it, then you deconsecrate. But initially, it has to be according to the value of how much the thing is worth. How could he go ahead and direct him to do such a thing? Says the Gemara, you're right. But hanemili, when did Shmuel say that it's only be the yevid? Is bezmacha besamikdash kai? Is at a time when the temple is around? Dikab seder, because that would be a loss to hektish if you'd be deconsecrate $100 on a nickel. But in today's times where the story took place, where there's no Beis HaMikdash and there's no loss to the Beis HaMikdash, rather there's just a prohibitory law which prohibits having benefit from Hektish, so I feel like it's then, yeah, even initially one could deconsecrate thousands of dollars worth of assets onto just the a pruta on the lowest denomination. So the Gemara wonders, then he achi afil pruta nami. Then why did he tell him 4 zuzim that he could have even told him to just deconsecrate it on to the lowest currency possible? Says Gemara, yeah, but presumi milsi. He wanted to publicize that this was done. If it was done with just a nickel, no one would realize what's happening. He wanted them to know that it was deconsecrated on these coins, and then they threw him into the river. He felt that 4 zuzim would be at least significant enough that people know that this pinion was done. Amar Ula, however, Ula said, he says, Yahavi Hasam, had I been there by that incident, Havi Hivna Kulakam, I would have given actually all those monies, I would have given everything to the Kahanim. Where Amak Sava Ula Stam Kharam the Kahanim. So obviously we see that Ula holds that an unspecified Kharim is to the Kahanim, not like to Beit HaKabayis, which we had differences of whose opinion is actually what, but that we see this machlik is regarding even in Amayram, do we say Stam Kharam is the Beit HaKabayis? So, like Rabbi Yehuda did, you could deconsecrate in a few coins and throw into the river. Or like Ula said, no, you would have to give all your assets to the Kahanim, because a Kherim goes to the Kahanim, which cannot be redeemed. But either way, the Gemara asked Meisvei. The Gemara asked on both opinions, which this story took place at a time when there was no Beis HaMikdash, there's no laws of Yevil, and they both said Kherim applies. The only question was, does it go to Beit HaGabayis or the Kahanim? However, that seems to be contradictory in the following price. Right, so it goes through a few different halachas that only apply at a time when the laws of Yevil apply, which when the whole of the Jewish people are in the land of Israel. So says the mission, says the Brisa, Ein Eved Ivri Noyig, the laws of the Jewish slave only apply, El Bezmacha Yevil Noyig, only at a time when the laws of Yevil apply. Meaning to say that he cannot be sold as Eved Ivri at current times when there's no Yevil. Shemek says the pasuk in Yikra. It says Ach Nasa Yevil Yavad Imach. The Eved Ivri that becomes the Nirtza that he wants to stay on longer, he serves you up until the Yevil year. You see that there's a certain a relationship between Eved Ivri and the laws of Yevil. So if there's no Yevil, there's no Eved Ivri. So too, and the Gir says V'ein Stei Achuzin Nehegis. The law of the ancestral field, which is that it is sold and then it's redeemed according to proportionally how many years are left to Yevil. That that halacha only applies when the laws of Yevil apply. And rather, in today's times, it's only if the buyer wants to give it back with whatever amount of money he wants to sell it back, could he sell it back. But if not, you don't force him. And so too is regarding if someone sanctifies his ancestral field, bizman hazeh, then there's no laws of Yevil, because like we said, once the tribe of Reuben and Gad were exiled, so then the laws of Yevil stopped. So there also, the redemption from Hekdash would only be according to its value, not according to that proportionate value of 50 slum for the 50 years of Yevil. Shnemekot says the Meyikra, says, V'yatza b'yevil v'shavalach uzaseh. It goes out in the Yevil year and goes back to ancestral, meaning the one who sold it gets it back. You see that the laws of selling and regarding its specific limitations of how we do this, of Geruah of the Shanim, is only according to the when there's related to the Yevil years. So to embody Erechaimen Noegen, the laws of a house in a walled city don't apply, mean to say that we don't force the consumer, if the seller wants to redeem it and buy it back, even within the first year, which is the biblical law regarding Bote Erechaima, that because he actually only has a year to buy it back, so within the year, the buyer has to sell it back to him. That only applies, El Bezman Sheyevo Noeg, only when the laws of Yevil apply. Shlomek says the Pasuk in Beyikra, when the Pasuk says that if he didn't redeem it until after a year has already passed, says Lo Yitzah B'Yevil, it's not going to go out in the Yevil year like a regular house or field. Here, it's different, but we see that it's related to the laws of Yevil, so there's no Yevil, there's no law of Batei Rechema. Pshimin Yechim, he says, Ein Stei Charamim Nohegen, the law of a Cherim field only applies, El Bezman Sheyevo Noeg, only when the laws of Yevil apply. Shlomek says the Pasuk in Beyikra, it says, V'hoya Asod B'Tzeis B'Yevil, that when the field goes out in the Yevil year, Kodesh L'Hashem, it's holy to Hashem, Kistei HaCherim, like the Cherim field. Where although that's talking about Makdash Te'achuz, like we mentioned before, but it mentions like a Stei Cherim, which is also related to the laws of Yevil. Pshimin L'Azim, he says, Ein Ger Toshim Noeg, the halacha of that a Jewish person has to sustain the resident convert, which is someone who accepted upon himself the Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, not to worship Abay Dezar, but he eats not kosher, he's not a Jew, but there is a law that the Jewish people have to provide for such a person. That's El Bezman Sheyevo Noach, that's only at a time when Yevil applies. Which Amrav Bibi says, my time, what's the reason for that opinion? Because Asi Taif Taif, it learns like Zer Shav of the word Taif. Shev Hacha says over here by the Eved Ivri, a pasuk in Devarim, says that if the slave is going to tell you, oh, I don't want to leave your house because I love you and love your family, ki tayv le'imach, because it's good for him with you. So you see by the Eved Ivri, which the law becoming Eved Nirtza, says the word tayv. Ksev Hasim says it by the Ger Taishav, that with you he will dwell, as the Pasuk says, Dvarim, because b'tayv le'as is good for him, le'tenenu, don't go ahead and afflict him, don't hurt him, which that whole context over there is Tumah Beker Toysha, as Gemara explains in Masechet Kiddin of Memheim and Aleph, which it says of the Imcha Yeshu Bekirbecha. So therefore, that just like over there is only Bizman Shal Yevo Noig, like we pointed out before, so to Ger Toysha that you have to sustain him is only at Bizman Shal Yevo Noig. But one thing is, the Gemara asks, according to both opinions of Yehuda and Ula, we see that the laws of Stecharamim are only Noig at a time Bizman Shal Yevo Noig. So how are they saying, oh, it goes to the Kohen, oh, it goes to Beit HaGavayis, doesn't do anything, because the law doesn't apply, because there's no Mayevel anymore. Says Gemara Lekash, it's not difficult. This halacha, the Braisa, is talking about land. A stecherm, a land, like the Pasuk says, which is brought as the source, but Tzeisu B'Yevel Kesedei HaCherem. Oh, that is applying to the laws of Yevel. The story that was took place in Pumadis, we're talking about movable items. That does not have the limitation in relationship to Yevil, and therefore it did apply even when the Yevil doesn't apply anymore. But the Gemara wants, but Vamaisa de Pumadisa b'mekarkei namihaba. That also was with land, because the story was that he was machrim all his assets, which are both movable items and land. And still we see that they said that the law of Cherem applies. Says Gemara, yeah, but mekarkei de chutz la'aretz. The land out of Eretz Yisrael, which Pumbadis is in Bavel, out of Eretz Yisrael, kimetatli de Eretz Yisrael. I mean, that's like movable items of Eretz Yisrael, because laws that apply to land are only in Eretz Yisrael. That's what we say that applies to the laws of Yevil. Here, this land, which is out of Eretz Yisrael, is like movable items in Eretz Yisrael, which does not have the limitation of Yevil, and therefore, they said Cherem does apply. Their whole machlekes was, is Stam Charam that he made, Lebede Gabayis, or is it for the Kohen? Now, another source for the Rabbanan's opinion, the previous Mishnah, which we said is where Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira also learns this halacha out from, is Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. He says the following contradiction in the Pesukim. On the one hand, Kasev Echarema, one pasuk says in Devarim, Taktish. By the laws of Bukhar, it says that any Bukhar that's going to be born, so Taktish, you should sanctify it. Now, but Kasev Echarema, on the other hand, there's a pasuk in the Yikra that says, Lo Yaktish. It says that, however, a Bukhar, which will be born, the first animal for a behema, Lo Yaktish, a person should not sanctify it. So the Mishnah, Rib Shmuel says, if Shalem Taktish, you can't say, like the first Pasuk says, to sanctify it, Shekvar Nema Loyaktish, because the second Pasuk in Vayikra says, not to sanctify it. Now, if Shalem Loyaktish, you cannot say, not to sanctify it, Shekvar Nema Taktish, because there's the other Pasuk that says, you should sanctify it. So how can I resolve these two Pasukim regarding the laws of Bechar, regarding the firstborn animal? Says Rib Shmuel, Makdishe Ate Hektish Ilui. You could sanctify the sanctification of evaluation, meaning evaluating in its monetary value, meaning that what's called Teves HaNah. You're right. This carbon, this Bechar, it is already sanctified. That's Lo Yaktish. You can't sanctify it. It's already sanctified. But what you could sanctify is the owner of the Bechar. He has what's called Teves HaNah. He has a benefit of gifting that he can decide which coin he's going to give it to. That has monetary value. That he can make that into chaim and give that value that he has to the kohen. But, like the other pasuk is saying, v'yakta makdisha hekdesh mizbech, but you can't sanctify it, that of a sanctification of a carbon, to be some other carbon to take effect on it. No, it's already bechar, you cannot make it into other carbon. So lo yaktish is you can't make it into another carbon, it's already bechar, but taktish means to say that you go ahead and sanctify it in regards to it being evaluated in its teves hanah, and you give that chaim value to the kohen. Now, says the Gemara, now, but Rabbanon of our previous Mishnah, which they learned out this exact drasha from Kol Cherem Kodesh Kodeshim, that Cherem could take effect on Kodesh Kodeshim, which is this halacha that Rabbi Shmuel is saying from this pasuk. So, what do they do with these two pasukim? So, Al Taktish, this that it says, don't sanctify the Bechar Mibay Lilala. They need it for a negative prohibition, which is that if you're going to go ahead and try to take possession of this Bechar to bring it as a different carbon, one is violating a negative prohibition. And Taktish Mibay Lilikitanya, this that it says you should sanctify the Bechar, is taught for the following halacha of the following braisa. The braisa says, Minayin Lenoy Lebechar Be'edrib. From where do we know that if someone has a firstborn animal that's born into his flock, Shemitzvah Lakdisha, that is a mitzvah to sanctify for the designation of being a Bechar, which is, even though it's automatically sanctified by birth, coming out of the womb, still there's a mitzvah of sanctification. Shnamak says, the Pasik has Zachar Taktish, the male, you should sanctify it, which they learn from this Pasik, that yeah, you should sanctify it, and that's what they learn out from over here. Now, but Rabbi Shmuel, he would tell you, who he's not learned that out from these Pesukim, because he learns it out regarding this concept of, well, regarding that you could make cherem take effect on it, that's what Taktish is, and Loyaktish is saying that you can't make it to be matvis for a carbon. He would tell you that Taktish cannot be like these Rabbanim, because he says, Eloi Maktish Loy Kaddish. What? If a person is not going to sanctify verbally. What, do you think it's not going to become sanctified? Kedushas merechem have it's automatic sanctification when it comes out of the womb. So, b'kivin de loy makdash lekadosh, since if you wouldn't sanctify it, it would be sanctified. So, loy tzarech lekdusha. You don't have to sanctify it. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel does not hold to this drasha of takdash to say that you have to sanctify it. Rather, like he learns in the Mishnah, that takdash is coming to tell you that the laws of cheirim could take effect on kachakachim, which again the Rabbanan know from elsewhere, but just like Rabbi Yudim Sera, like Rabbi Shmuel, he learns out from this pasuk of takdash, but you don't need it to tell you that, because there's no, he doesn't hold this a requirement of verbal designation of the sanctity of the Bechar, because it happens automatically. Hanulach HaMakdash Shateh, which I will turn to you, the 8th parak, Masechet Erech and Parak HaMakdash Shateh, which talks about the topic of the parak, which is the sanctification of one's ancestral field and related halachas. With that, we continue on Tamid Beis, we begin the 9th parak, Masechet Erech, Parak HaMeicher Shateh, which continues on the same theme about Steachuz, ancestral fields, but not talking about the sanctification and its relationship with Yevul, but rather regarding selling the field and its relationship with Yevul. Says the Mishnah, HaMeicher Shateh, if someone sells his ancestral field, Beshas al Yevul, at a time when Yevul applies, so Eina Muta Ligal, he's not allowed to redeem it, meaning to buy it back from the buyer, Pachas Mishtei Shanim, less than 2 years from when the sale has happened. Why? Kishanam, the Pasuk says, Miyikra, Bemist Beshnei Tevuas Yimkalach, in the number of the years of produce, he has sold it to you, which is that there has to have been at least 2 years of produce that it was sold, but less than that, not allowed to redeem it. But after 2 years, then if the seller wants to redeem it, then he could forcibly require the buyer to sell it back to him, and he gives proportionally according to how much he had sold it for. Like the pasuk of Rikha Chavei, V'chisha V'shnei Mimkari, he calculates the years of the sale, which is he calculates how many years it was from when he sold it until Yevul, and then divides that amount of the sale according to the years proportionally. So for example, if let's say 10 years before Yevul, he sells it for 10 litrin. So it comes out that he essentially has sold the produce of every single year for a litra, because generally the sale is only up until Yevul. So therefore, if, let's say, the consumer held on to it for 5 out of the 10 years, and then after the 5 years, the seller is coming to redeem it and buy it back, so then he takes off 5 litrin, which are litra for every single year, and that's according to the calculations, and then he buys it back for the remaining 5 litra. Now, says the Mishnah, let's say, Haysa Shnas Shidafin, V'yirokin, but let's say, from those 2 years, which after that he could force him to sell it back, let's say one of those 2 years was there was wind blast, which is the conditions made it impossible to plant, or the yirokin, or all the produce got yellowed. No one was able to have a productive year of produce. Or one of the years was a shmita year, which biblically you're not allowed to plant. Says the Mishnah that doesn't count for the number, the minimum of the 2 year minimum, because the pasuk says shnei tevuos, years of, which is years is minimum is two, of produce. The 2 years have to be fit to be able to have produce, and that's the 2 years has to be in the hands of the consumer. Now, but says the Mishnah, if let's say the year was fit for produce, but nara, but he plowed the field instead of planting, or he just left it fallow and he didn't even plow it. Oh, so then he caused the loss for himself, although he didn't get 2 years of produce, but he was able to. So then, then that year does count for a year out of the 2 years that it has to be in the hands of the buyer. He says, if the field was sold to him before the beginning of the year, the Himalaya Paris, and it is still full with produce from the previous year, so this is going to be a situation where the buyer is going to eat 3 years worth of produce, because he's going to get, when he bought it, it's already filled with produce, and then he has the 2 years of produce in the 2 years that he could hold on to it. So he's actually, in that case, going to get 3 years worth of produce. Now, the Mishnah said, if someone sold this field at a time when Yevul applies, so says the Gemara, ain't a guy like a tani. Doesn't say he doesn't redeem it, which that would sound like that we cannot force the buyer to return to him in what he wants to redeem back his field less than 2 years. Doesn't say ain't a guy that he just doesn't redeem it. Ela ain't a mutaligal, says he's not permitted to redeem it. Says the Gemara, obviously you see from the Tanna of the Mishnah that there's actually even a level of prohibition over here. Not just that we cannot financially coerce the buyer, it's not permitted. Which tells us that even to shake coins, in front, shake a wad of cash in front of the buyer, for the seller to do that, is prohibited to do. So to try to induce him and motivate him to sell it back, you're not allowed to. It's forbidden for you to go ahead and redeem it back within the 2 years. Now, says the Gemara, and we don't have to tell you that the seller is prohibited to do this because of a positive commandment, like the Chassid says in the Pasuk, that in the number of the years of produce he has to sell it for you, which is that he has to sell it for 2 years, he now will go ahead and try to get it back. Says the Gemara that actually even the buyer, if he returns it within 2 years, he also violates the positive commandment. Why? Because the Bein, you need that in that same Pasuk, it says, Shanim. It says over there, b'mispa shanim acha hayoivel, the number of years after yoivel, tikne, you should buy it, which sounds like that you should have bought it for 2 years, v'lekan, you're not going to have that. If he's going to return it before the 2 years, he himself, the buyer, will violate a positive commandment in the Torah. Now, Idma, we learned, ha-meicha sedeyu b'shnasa yoivel atzm. Someone sells the field in the yoivel year itself. So Rav Machlik is Rav and Shmuel. Rav Amma, he says, m'chura v'yaitze, it's sold, but it goes back out to the seller in that same yovel year. So essentially, the buyer has lost his money because it's his, and boom, it goes right back. Now, Shmuel Ami says, no, ain't a mechura kol ikar. It's not sold at all in this situation, which as we're going to later see, that means to say that the money goes back to the buyer. The sale is not effective. It's not a valid sale. So although he gave the money, no, it's undone. Rav says, no, it's a sale, but you got to give the field back. Says the Gemara, my time in the Shmuel, what's the reason of Shmuel that says it's not a sale? So it says, Kavochemer. What's the Kavochemer? Umamachur kfar, if a field that was already sold before Yevil, Yaitza, when it comes to the Yevil year, it goes back to the seller. So she'en machura, ain't a dinch like timacher. So if it's not sold yet, isn't it a Kavochemer that it cannot be sold? If it was even sold, the sale becomes undone. So if you're trying to sell, for sure you can't sell it now because sales are not effective in the Yevil year. Therefore he says it's ain't a machur kalikr. So the Gemara wonders, but El Rav, that he disputes this, so says the Gemara, Loyer Mina Kabochemer Kagavna, don't we see such a Kabochemer? Seemingly he should agree with that, and it shouldn't be a valid sale. Not like Rav says that it is a sale, but just that then the buyer loses the money because it goes right back to the seller. Because Vatan, you learn in the following Braisa. Yochel Yimker Adam is Bito Kishi Naira. The Braisa says, you would think that a person could sell his daughter when she's a Naira, which is a girl between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, and although, since she's not a full adult of a Begeres, you would think that he could sell her, as he could when she's a minor, that he could sell her as a slave. So it says the Breisa, Amar Kavochemer. But then you'll say a Kavochemer that no, he cannot. Because a mama chura kavar, yitza achshav, if a girl that, who he was able to sell her when she was a minor, she, at when she becomes a Naira, goes out, because the laws of Amma Avriya, the Jewish maidservant, when she develops signs of puberty of Nairis, she goes out free, as the Gemara says in Bryce and Kedush Abdal Manav, when it says in the Pasuk, Yatzachinim en Kasev says she goes out without any money when she becomes a Begeres, and Yatzachinim adds on, even when she becomes a Naira, when she turns 12. So, says the Bryce, so if when she reaches this age, if she was even already sold, she goes out. So if she's not sold yet, isn't it a kavochemer that she's not able to be sold? So you see the same kavochemer, which is the same idea that Shmuel said, that if it was sold already, it's going to go out in Yovel, so for sure you can't sell it in Yovel. So why does Rav say it's sold, just it goes back? It should be like Shmuel, that it's not a sale at all. Says the Gemara, no, it's different from the Braisa. Hasim over there in the Braisa regarding his daughter that he sold her when she was a minor, and yes, she goes free when she becomes 12 years old. Loi hadrim is davna. There he can never sell her ever again. As the Gemara says in Kedushin of Yitzchesim and Aleph, that a person cannot sell his daughter as a maidservant, and then again as a maidservant. Because we learn it from the Pasuk that says, Bebig de ba, because he was a traitor to her, which is, Kivin shebagad ba, once he already betrayed her that he sold her as a shifcha, he cannot go ahead and sell her again. So therefore, when she goes out free when she's 12, that is an eternal freedom. So there you could say a kavochem, like the Braisa says, where if she was sold beforehand, she's going out, so to sell her when she's already this age, for sure she cannot be sold, because once she reaches this age, she's not in the category of selling anymore. However, says Rav, Varhacha over here regarding this field, that yeah, goes back to the owner in the Yevil year, Hadram is Davna, that could be resold again after Yevil if he wants to. So it's not it's done. Once you get Yovel, this field is never going back anymore to a consumer. No, it could be resold again. So therefore, yeah, in the Yovel year, you're also allowed to sell it. It just goes back to him without any remuneration for the buyer. But it is a sale. It just goes back. And therefore, he disagrees with Shmuel, and it's not a contradiction on him from the Braisa. But the Gemara continues asking Rav Meisve. The Braisa brings the Pasuk in Vayikra that says, according to the number of years, Acher ha-yovel, after the yovel, well, that's going to be how much you have to pay for the redemption of the field, which you're buying back, because the sale was according to how many years is left in the yovel. Now, when it says acher ha-yovel, that sounds like that, yeah, even right after the yovel year, shonim tikna, which actually the words are b'misper shonim acher ha-yovel tikna, but what the Bryce is trying to point out, that if you buy a field, it should be in your hand for a period of 2 years, with even the coercive on the seller, even if he wants to redeem it, no, it's got to be at least 2 years in the hand of the consumer. But one thing we see from this pasuk is that when since says acha yevil is melamed shemeichim samech liyevil, you see that the sale could be even right next to the yevil year, it could be right after yevil. Now muflik min hayevil l'nayin, says the Bryson, how do you know even if it's a distance from yevil, somewhere in the middle of the yevil cycle, that there also could be the sale of the steachuza? So the next pasuk says, it says lefi reiv hashan, according to the abundance of years that there is up until yovel. That's what the pasuk says over there. Tiba miknase. So then you can increase the price of the sale because up until yovel, it's going to be acquired by that buyer if it's not going to be redeemed. So that should fetch a lot more money. And also the pasuk says lefi miat hashan, and according to the diminishment of how many years is left to yovel. So you'll sell it as a cheaper price so that you shouldn't be overcharging your friend because it's a proportion of how many years is left up until yovel. But one thing we see from these psukim is that the sale could happen whether it's close to the yovel that passed or whether it's even far away from the yovel that passed. That's what the Brisa was saying. Continues the Brisa, ubishnas yovel asma, but in the yovel year itself, lo yimker, you cannot sell it. The machan, if it's sold, einem mechur, it's not sold. That clearly contradicts Rav. Shmuel says exactly that idea, that yeah, it's not a sale. Rav says it is, it just goes back to the seller. Here you see it's not sold. So Amalek Ravi says, no. What does it mean, Eina Mechura? What does the price mean, it's not sold? It's not sold, L'mispashne Tavuas, for the counting of the years of produce, which is that we don't have to keep it in the hand of the consumer at all. Meaning, generally, we said it has to be at least a minimum of 2 years. That's what the price is saying, no, it's not sold with that requirement. Because in that year itself that he bought it, it's going to go back to the seller. Av Mechurihi. But it is a sale for this, that he's going to lose his monies, and then it just goes right back to the seller. But it is a sale. Now, on that, the Gemara wonders, the is davuni mizabna. So if this is like how Rav is explaining, that yeah, most definitely it's going to be a sale, because like Rav is saying, it's a bona fide sale, it just goes right back to the seller. So then why is it that we're saying that it does not stay in the hands of the consumer at least for 2 years? Why? Taking b'shusei ad basar yevil, we should keep it in the hand of the buyer at least up until after yevil. U'basar yevil nech l'shnei tavuos, and then let him eat it from the produce after yevil for 2 years worth of produce. And then v'nehadra. And then let it go back without any remuneration, without getting repaid from the seller because of the yevil that already passed because it was sold in the yevil year itself. Because Milatani didn't learn the Brisa that a chalashana achas l'bnei yevil, if the buyer was only able to eat 1 year's worth of produce before yevil, so although generally when the yevil year comes, it goes right back to the seller, the Brisa says no. Mashlimin l'shana acheres acha yevil, you supplement, you complete the next year of produce after the yevil year. So here also, if he's saying it's a sale, so though, yeah, the yevil year is making it go back to the seller, and without the consumer getting his money back, but at least let him have to hold on to it for another 2 years after yevil, like you see in that brisa that he had 1 year before, he gets to keep it 1 year after. Says the Gemara, no, there it's different. Hasam nachas l'achila. And that brisa, he started eating a year's worth of produce before the yevil year. He had 1 year that he was able to get. So therefore, once he started the halacha of shnei tavuos of the year of produce, so we fulfill the pasuk which says it has to be 2 years worth of produce of shnei tavuos. However, hacha over here, when someone buys in the yevil year itself, like nachas l'achila, he never started consuming produce. You can't plant in the yevil year itself. So therefore, since he never entered into that category, he doesn't have that halacha. Yeah, it's a sale, but it's going to go right back without him even having any years of produce after the yevil year itself. Now, regarding this machlekes, Rav and Shmuel, Am Rav Anan, and he says, Shamet minei demar Shmuel tarti. He says, I learned two halachas that have a similarity from the master Shmuel, which chadahach, one was this halacha that we just heard from Shmuel before, that if he sells the steachuz in the yevil year itself, it's not a sale at all. Vidach, and the other one was, Hamoicher abdi la'evik achavim. Someone sells his slave to a non-Jew, and the gear says, L'chutz la'aretz, or he sells him to out of Eretz Yisrael, where he lives in Eretz Yisrael, now he's selling him to slave out of Eretz Yisrael. In either one of these cases, yotze l'cheres, the slave goes out free. So for example, let's say when he sells his slave to a non-Jew, we penalize him to have to redeem him from the non-Jew, and then he has to let him go free. And the reason is because since he sold him to a non-Jew, he was going to preclude him from fulfilling the mitzvahs which he already had by becoming an eved of a Jew. And so to be sells his slave, even to a Jew, but in Chutz La'aretz, he goes set free because he loses certain halachas and mitzvahs that could only be applied in Eretz Yisrael. Now regarding these two halachas, says Rav Anan, Chado, one of these two halachas I heard from the Master Shmuel, that the sale is nullified, and Hadri Zvini, and the sale is void, and meaning the monies go back to the consumer. Either the one of the one who sells the field in the Yevil year itself, or from the one that someone that sells a slave to a Jew in Chutz La'aretz, and v'chado lehadri zivini. And the other one, however, the money doesn't go back. Rather, the consumer loses his monies. But v'lo yedana haymenai, and I don't know, however, which one of these two halachas is that the sale is totally void and that the money goes back to the consumer. Which Rashi addresses and says, and if someone's going to ask, wait a second, it's obvious that it's from the one which we were assuming up until now, which will be the conclusion, that it's the one that someone that sells his field in the Yevil year that Shmuel said that the sale is void and the money goes back, because if you would think that the money from the buyer is lost, that he doesn't get it back, then what's the difference between him and Rav? Rav also says that it goes right back to the seller. It's just that the buyer loses the money because it's sold and goes back. If Shmuel is saying that, oh, the sale is void, but he doesn't get his money back, so that's essentially the same as Rav. So Rashi says actually two differences there would still be between Rav and Shmuel. If let's say the lekeach, the consumer, in that moment that he bought the field, he quickly chopped down trees, according to Rav, who said that it was a sale, it just goes back to the seller, so the field would go back, but the trees that he cut, because ultimately it was a sale, and he would be able to keep it. But according to Shmuel, they're saying it's not sold, and therefore what that would mean is that, he's losing the money, but not because of a sale, but because the monies are a gift, so then the trees also would have to go back, even though he's not taking back the money, because it was never his field. So the trees he was never able to cut off. Another difference would be, for example, let's say with the sale of the field in the Yevil year, he sold with it metatlon, movable items. And he took possession of the land with the kinyanim of karka, and he didn't do meshicha, pulling the metatlon. Which the Gemara tells in Kedush Chavav Med Aleph that nechasim she'en lemachrayis, properties that don't have insurance, meaning metatlon, could be acquired through the dint of the acquisition of karka with either money or the document or chazaka, which don't apply to metatlon. You don't have to do meshicha on the metatlon. So according to Rav, that says it's a sale, it just goes right back. So the field will go back because it's in the Yevil year, but the metatlon would have been acquired because it was a bona fide sale to acquire the metatlon with it. But according to Shmuel, that says it's not a sale at all and the money was just a gift. So then he hasn't acquired the metatlon because the chazaka and the karka wasn't the chazaka because he never acquired anything, and therefore he would not acquire the metatlon with it too. So therefore, that was the doubt of Ravana. So Amr Avis, he says, let's see, we'll clarify which one of the two halachas did Shmuel say that the money goes back, and that in the other case, he gets to keep the money, the seller. Says Meditani beBrayso. We learned in the following Brayso that says Hamoicher Avdoi b'Chutz La'aretz or L'Chutz La'aretz, the same halacha of Shmuel. Someone sells his slave to Chutz La'aretz. So like we said, that's the halacha Yotzel Cheris. He goes out free. We penalize the sale. V'tzarch get shichim rabbeshen. But it says that he needs an emancipation document from his second owner, meaning the one who bought it from him. But one thing says Rav Yosef Ishmael Enam the Karidle L'Sheni Rabbi. From the fact that we're calling the second person, this guy who lives in Chutz La'aretz, we're calling him his master, and he has to actually give him a get shichur to emancipate him. Alma Loi Hadri Zvini. Obviously, we see that the sale wasn't totally undone. It was a sale. It's just that they have to free him. So the buyer loses the money because we're saying he has to free him. That means he's the owner. Oh, the seller. I mean, it's not like it was not a sale at all. It was. He doesn't get his back money, and therefore that's where the sale doesn't get back the money, and it's lost. Oh, since we see that's the case where the sale is not totally undone, most definitely then the chikamer Shmuel hacha. Then when Shmuel said in the halachas that we're discussing in Ardaf that he was saying in the mechur that it's not a sale umois chayzrin, and that the money goes back. It's not a sale at all. It wasn't anything, and that's the case where he said the money is going to go back. Whereas again, according to Rav, the money doesn't go back. It's a sale. He loses the money, and that it just goes back to the seller. However, the Gemara continues top of Laman Maralf, but Ravanan, that he was in doubt which case was the one that he said that the sale is undone or it's not. He, first of all, this Brysa says clearly that you need to get shichur from the Rabbi Hasheni, which sounds like that it was a sale, it's just that he has to free him. Lo Yishmila, he didn't hear that, so therefore that wasn't able to resolve his doubt, he didn't know that Brysa. And Udu Shmuel, and from the teaching of Shmuel that he said that it's not sold, he couldn't have inferred from that and said, oh, it's not sold. So he says, it's not a sale, therefore the money goes back. No. Because mimai de'ena mechura mois chayzen, how would you know necessarily that he means say it's not a sale and the money goes back? Dilma, maybe the money that the consumer gave to the seller, yeah, ena mechura, it's not for a sale, but umois matana, but we would consider the money as a gift that he gave to the seller. And then, like we said, the difference between Rav and Shmuel would be like we gave those two differences before, and therefore he couldn't know definitively from the teaching of Shmuel. Yeah, the Gemara ultimately proves it from the Braisa, but Ravan was in doubt because from Shmuel's wording you cannot indicate, and he didn't know of the Braisa. And why would we entertain to say that if he's not getting the field anyway, that the money that he gave would be a gift? It's just like we find Shmuel in another context regarding someone who's betrothing his sister. He says to his sister, let's get engaged, and he gives her money. Didma, that we learned, HaMekadosh HaChesei, if someone's engaging his sister, which is prohibited, can't engage his sister, so Rav HaMamois Chesei, he says that, okay, so the money goes back to the brother, because the person knows that Kiddushin cannot take effect in his sister, and he's just giving it for her to deposit, to watch the money, but it's ultimately going to go back to him. Ushmol Amar Ma'is Matana, Shmuel says, no. Why is he giving her the money as engagement money? He really wants to gift it to her. So you see the same idea, where although he knows that what he's trying to do is not taking effect, he's giving the money as a gift. So to over here, we would have thought in Shmuel's teaching that, yeah, you cannot buy the field in the Yovel, so why are you giving the money? It's really a gift, but you don't get to hold on to it. It's not a sale. So therefore, we would have thought maybe from Shmuel, and therefore Ravana was in doubt. Although ultimately the Gemara does say from the Brayis, so you see that it actually is a sale. From the Eved, that there the halacha is that it's causing a loss to Lekech. Obviously, this case is not a cause, is not a loss to Lekech, and he gets his money back. But the Gemara asks, going back on that Braisa regarding that we said that when you sell your slave to Chutz La'aretz, that there we say the sale is not undone. And although we have to free the slave, that's a loss on the consumer. He has to free, because, yeah, he actually bought the slave, but he lost his money because the slave is going free. Adam Le'Bailer of Yisvi says, my chaz is to continue Le'Lekech. Where do you see fit to penalize the buyer? Niknase Le'Meicher, penalize the seller. Then no, he has to give the money back to the buyer, and then he'll have to free the slave because he's the one that's selling it. So we should penalize him. Why penalizing the buyer that he loses the money that he bought it for, and he has to free the slave? So Amalei to Rav Yisrael responded. He says, Lavach bar ganav, the mouse is not the one who stole. Elachur ganav, it's the hole that stole. Meaning, if there was no hole for the mouse to put the food, he wouldn't steal. So therefore, it's the hole that's stealing. Here also, if the seller wouldn't find a buyer, he wouldn't be able to sell it. So the problem is with the buyer and not the seller, therefore we penalize him. To which Abaya asked, what, Elavach bar, if not for the mouse, chur benale, where would the hole have it? The hole can't have it, because it can't steal, it can only do it with the assistance of the mouse. So maybe penalize the mouse, the seller, and not the buyer. To which the Gemara answers, he says, right, Mistaber Hecha de Isli Sur. The reason is because it's logical to say that where the prohibited item is, which is that the buyer, who the slave is by him, that's where we penalize. You're right, it's simply because you're the one holding the bag, so we're going to penalize you, and therefore he has to let him free. We're not going to undo the sale. They both were doing something wrong, and he paid it, and therefore that's a case where it's not loy hadri zvinis, the sale's not going to be undone. He's going to lose it, but again, that's where he proved that the other halacha that Shmuel taught, which one of the two was that the sale is undone, was regarding the halacha that he disagrees with Rav, regarding this case of the Steach Chuzah being sold in the Yibel year. He says, it's not sold at all, the money goes back, it's not a sale at all. Whereas Rav said that it is a sale, it's just that the field goes right back, and it's the loss of the Lekech.